Do you have any names, James, James, Stephen, one of that five, two?
They're in the house, we're conducting here, and so, just hold on.
Okay, Mr. James, could you please, again, please, for the record, state your name and your ADC number?
Yes, James, 271152.
Thank you. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing concerning the one allegation that's listed on your warrant. I see you signed a form notifying you about this hearing on March 29th. Do you remember that?
Yes, ma'am, that's correct.
Okay, and that told you that the hearing would be today. And on that form is a list of your hearing rights. And one of your rights is you could hire at your expense an attorney to represent you. Did you hire an attorney, or will you be representing yourself today?
Myself, ma'am.
Okay, thanks. I'd like to introduce you to the board members. If you look to your right on the video camera there, all the way at the end is the Honorable Louis Quinones. Next to him is the Honorable David Neal. Next to me here is our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. To my right here is the Honorable Michael Johnson. And my name's Gail Rittenhouse. I'll be your panel chair today.
Thank you.
Also with us in the room, we have Mr. Westby. And there you can see Mr. Westby now. He is with the Department of Corrections, and he will represent the department and your parole officer in today's hearing. So I need to swear both of you in, Mr. James and Mr. Westby. Do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
I do.
Okay, thank you. Mr. James, your hearing will be conducted in two phases, with phase one to determine if you violated the terms and conditions of community supervision, and then phase two to determine if that supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So for phase one, I'm going to read this allegation to you, and I need you to tell me if it's true or false, and the board will then make a determination as to whether you violated your conditions, sir. So we'll start phase one of your hearing, and that is that you were in violation of condition number 12A as demonstrated by failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer, by failing to report in for a face-to-face contact visit on or about January 22nd, 2018, as directed both verbally and in writing on January 17th, 2018. Your whereabouts were unknown, and thus you were absconded from supervision. Mr. James, is this true or false?
It's true.
This is true? Okay, thank you, sir. Based on Mr. James's admission, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed into criminal ways of company.
Agree.
Okay. Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Johnson, agreed by Dr. Wright, Mr. Neal, Mr. Quinones. And Mr. James, we can move to phase two of your hearing. And determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. But before we get too far, I'm going to ask Mr. Westby, our community corrections officer, to give us some background information about your case. So just stay on the line there. We'll be right back to talk with you in just a moment. Mr. Westby.
January 16, 2018, Mr. James was released from DOC. He was arrested March 8, 2018 by Tucson Parole.
Tucson Parole?
Hold on. I'm missing which agency that was.
What's the arresting agency?
The arresting agency was Tucson PD.
Okay.
There were no new charges. He was back in DOC custody March 8th, 2018, with an adjusted CDCD of May 31st, 2019, which reflects 45 abstention days. Current conviction, 2012, trafficking in stolen property, 7 years. Also in 2012, burglary second degree, 5 years. He has no prior convictions. This is his first term in DOC. CUIR score 3-4, mental health score 3, substance abuse score 2. There's no gang information noted, no prior terms of supervision. His disciplinary violations are moderate, his drugs, alcohol, and disorderly conduct noted. Other arrest. 2007, assault, Utah, misdemeanor conviction, probation. 2008, burglary, Utah, guilty, other sanction. 2008, burglary, Utah, felony conviction, state prison. 2008, domestic violence, Utah, misdemeanor conviction, probation. 2008, stolen property, Utah, guilty of extension. Were arrested since then, resulted in the charges, being filed with the exception of 2011, drug paraphernalia violation, Arizona felony conviction, probation. His community risk score is a G5B5.
Okay, back to you, Mr. James. Looks like you you were initially going to go to TLC, but then you ended up at Ernest House on North Fremont Street in Tucson. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, and did you stay there the entire time you were out?
No, ma'am. What happened was is I got there and I was there for about 3 hours, and then said that I paid my IHP, so I'm integrated and have been for over a year. So I was on Santa Rita.
Okay.
So I paroled in Santa Rita, and I got out to this halfway house, and I got there with other men who were not integrated. And me not being from here, and you know, I didn't really understand the politics went to the streets also. I told them, yeah, no, I paroled from Santa Rita. And they're like, oh, hey, cool, we got a pool table on the back, why don't you come check it out with us? And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And I went out there and pretty much convinced the woman in the physical assault unit and told me to get out of there. And I ran off with my phone, my money, and my clothes and everything. The numbers of my phones in my phone, I didn't have any money. And I just ended up being on the streets. And I'm not from Tucson, I've never been there before. So I was having a difficult time. I found this place where we could sack lunches, and I did that for a while. And then eventually, I just couldn't do it anymore, and I seen two officers, and I walked up to them, and I told them my name was Jay James. I've been out of prison for about 7 months now, and I believe I'm probably a parole violator. Can you check that for me? And again, it came back that I was, and I sat on the curb, and the prison man came and picked me up and brought me back.
Okay, sir. So, had you been to the parole office at all before you, like, for your intake?
Yes, ma'am. When I got out, my mother came all the way from Texas and picked me up. And, you know, I see the name to her, and then I talked to my parole officer, and she was, you know, really on love. I really thought, you know, she was really all right in my book. And I talked to her, and she said, okay, we'll come back and see me on Monday. And I'm like, okay, I will. But like I said, my information was on my phone. My info was at that house. Everything was written down. I couldn't go back there. They told me to write me back. If I say anything, they finish the job. They were calling all these different names and because I was IHP.
Well, sir, why didn't you go back to the parole office? You knew where I was. You'd been there.
Yes, well, yes, that's true. But it was fully over. I'm not from Tucson. My mother drove me there. I wasn't doing anything. Like I said, and I had the address written down. You know, I don't know, I was afraid. You know, I was running from Santa Rita, another guy who went to TLC in Phoenix. You know, he got beat up in the same manner, and they arrested him for that and sent him back. And to be completely honest with you, I didn't want to go back to prison. I was afraid.
Okay, understood. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions for you. Anybody have a question? So for 45 days, you were essentially homeless, or just kind of out there, hanging out.
It was awful. I got bugs in my skin. I had to go down and get my access card, and I had to go to an emerging care or whatever it's called, and get these pills. And it was just awful. It was awful.
Understood. Okay, sir. Were you not working at all? You didn't have any sort of like day labor or?
I found this Mike Bean. He does landscaping and he did that work for him. I worked for him probably like 7 or 8 times doing manual labor, taking up yards and this and that. So yeah, that was really good.
Okay, that's good.
He's a decent guy, yeah.
Okay, and sir, were you using drugs at all?
No, and I didn't drink either.
And you didn't drink while you're on supervision? Because your discipline history in prison suggests that you use drugs sometimes.
I have mental illnesses, and when I'm out on my side beds, I feel like people have to get me and poison me and back in September, was it 16, I believe? I was going through this episode, and I just come off watch, and I felt like, you know, they were trying to give me those weird feelings, and it was just really bad for me at that time, but I started coming to counseling, and I did the AAA type things. For a whole year, when I said, okay, I did all these programs, and well, when I hit the streets, I was really doing good, and I did strong, and I remained strong.
Good. And you're feeling okay now? You're on your meds and everything, you're feeling okay?
Yes, ma'am. When I came back into prison, they waited, I was only in the home for about 2 days, and the doctors immediately put me back on the watch, so I went back to recon, and I did the watch thing, I was there for like a week. And then, you know, I got back on my meds, I went back on my meds now for about a month, and I'm really doing good. And they gave me a pamphlet that has all these different numbers, and they gave me Tucson. I was wondering, did I have to go there and my St. Mary's, and see, I didn't even know about St. Mary's.
Right.
But I have all this information now, so when I get out, I can go talk to these people and continue, because in Utah, I was SMI, but in Arizona, I'm not. So I have shown them what's out there, but now when I get out, I can do that, have the addresses, the forms, and all that.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad you're doing better. And now, when you were out there for those 45 days, did you have your meds or no? You didn't have your meds?
Everything stayed at the halfway house.
Okay.
It was awful for me.
Yeah, I can see that. All right, so while we're coming toward the end of your hearing, I want to give you a chance to make a final statement if you'd like to without repeating something you've already told us. Is there anything else we should know?
Well, ma'am, I just want to ask you, if I was planning this, I would really appreciate if I could be glad into a program where a little bit more integrated maybe with a little bit more than my mental health.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, Mr. James, the board is going to go into discussion. We don't discuss cases before we get right in this room. And our discussion is in public under the open meeting law. So we just ask you to stay on the phone, listen to the discussion, and just remain silent, and we'll be right back with you. Okay, sir?
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. The board is now in discussion. Mr. James is... sounds like from Utah, and found his way down here, and when he was released was very unfamiliar with Tucson. Unfortunately had his stuff stolen, and that had all his phone numbers, and wound up turning himself in to Tucson PD after being homeless for some time. It's very clear that he does well when he's on his meds, and during that time period he didn't have them because they've been stolen from him. So I'm just saying, thinking for his own well-being and safety, I think it'd be best for him to remain right where he is. There are probably programmings that he can become involved in if he makes it that known to the doctors that he wants to participate. I think there'd be something available for him, but I'd be willing to listen to anything from fellow board members. Mr. Johnson?
I agree. I think it's, you know, he's been out there as PO, tried to work with him and put him in a halfway house that it endangered him. He wound up living out there on the streets, and you know, I think it'd be best just to leave him in. He'll be released on May 13th
next year,
but that's a long ways away, but... obvious that he's not successful being out on the community supervision.
Don't have his meds, and we take care of
him. Agree.
Any other? Okay, then I'm going to make a motion to revoke community supervision as Mr. James was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second.
And specifically by absconding for 45 days, during which time we didn't know what he was doing. His parole officer didn't know what he was doing.
Second.
Agreed. Second by Ms. Agreed. Johnson, agreed by Dr. Ray, Mr. Neal, Mr. Kanan. Mr. James, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision. We want you to be safe. I mean, that's one of our part of our job is to make sure the community is safe, but also to make sure you're safe. I mean, we don't want you out there homeless. So this will give you the opportunity to make sure you stay on your meds and you're stable, got a place to sleep, and Do ask your CO3 about programming, because I think there'll be something available to you there, maybe not specifically. Are you back on the Santa Rita yard, or where are you now?
Behind.
Okay, all right.
So the police need you, right?
And there, yes, and there may be something available there too. We appreciate you participating in your hearing today, sir. Thank you very much for that. And if you give the phone back to your CO3, we thank you. This ends your hearing, sir. Thanks.